This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schleck. We are part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. You can listen to us on Dash Radio on Saturday afternoon. Emergency pod. I'm in the mountains right now. I'm outside. It's like 40 degrees, and I'm trying not to wake up my family. And I got the guy, the man, Fred Katz, on the line. So let me explain to you what's happening before I even let Fred talk, because he's doing something that's so nice for me. So my internet speed is awful. Right now I'm talking to Fred on my cell phone, and he's recording the pod for me, and then he's going to send it to me, and then I will send it to you. Fred, thank you, and how's it going?
I consider myself more of a guy, an A man, if that's if that's all right.
No, you are the man right here. What, 12:47 a.m. and
I think that's a hot article take. It's like a hot take about articles.
Fred, the Thunder are doing good things. They acquired Patrick Patterson today, the biggest free agent signing in Thunder history, for the taxpayer mid-level of $5.2 million. What are your initial thoughts?
Literally the biggest free agent signing in Thunder history. Like, no, it's the first time they've signed another team's free agent to that much money. Granted, it took the cap spiking up like 45% from what it was back when they signed Nenad Krstić, but, you know, close enough. What are my thoughts? I think he's a perfect fit. Hey, didn't I tell you, was it you? Didn't I go on Down to Dunk in like April and tell you that I think the Thunder will use their mid-level on a stretch four and I think Patrick Patterson's a perfect fit?
Yes, you did. Didn't I tell you the future at that time.
Yeah. Granted, I didn't know they were going to get Paul George, but let's ignore that part. But yeah, I can't say that 2 months ago and then come out here, or 2.5 months ago and then come out here and tell you that it's terrible. I think it's a great fit. Honestly, I think it's a better fit than Rudy Gay would have been. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He can be a 15 to 20% usage guy. He shoots threes well. He was 40-41% from the corners this past season. He's a quality defender. He's not a great defender. He doesn't, you know, get in passing lanes or anything like that, but he's a really solid team defender who can capably switch out onto big wings and that kind of stuff, which I think will be really important in the types of defense they could end up playing next year because they have so many versatile defenders. I think it's a great signing for them, and it seems to me they got him for – granted, the market has dried up, obviously, and there are a lot of people who are getting less money than they expected, like George Hill being the most obvious. George Hill turned down like an $80 million extension and then had to go to the Kings for $57 million with year three, not even fully guaranteed. But I think for the price they got him, $5.2 million in year one, $5.5 million in year two, year three, we'll see if he picks it up or not. It's a $5.7 million player option. Like, this is a good – team-friendly deal for a guy who my guess is going to end up starting a power forward for them.
Yeah, you think he would have to. And let's go to Rudy Gay real quick, because everyone was very kind of obsessed with this idea of bringing Rudy Gay to the Thunder. And the truth is, like, Rudy Gay has a ton of talent, and it's undeniable. And he's had it for a long time. He's been in the NBA for a long time. But the fit wasn't great. He took 24% of his shots from three last season before he got hurt. Contrasting that with Patrick Patterson, he took like 66% of his shots from three. The Thunder need a spacer at the four. And Rudy Gay, he's capable, but he's also not that guy. They would have had to convince him to be in that role. But Patrick Patterson doesn't need any convincing. He's going to play defense, and then he's going to sit in the corners, or he's just going to hit threes. That's what he's going to do. And that's what the Thunder really needed. And Rudy Gay would have helped. I think Rudy Gay as a six man would have made more sense. But if we're talking about a starting for Patrick Patterson makes way more sense.
You know what my problem with the Rudy Gay conversations was? It's that they usually go in the way, and Andrew, I'm calling you out on my problem with you right now. They usually go in the way that you just started. Someone either disagrees because of what you just said, that he would be a good fit, or they say he's a good fit because he's a talented offensive player and he can score and they need another ball handler who can score, yada, yada, whatever it is. You know what the starting point of any Rudy Gay conversation should be for me? That Rudy
His
Gay,
injuries, right?
Yeah, he's 31 years old and he has a torn Achilles. Like, the only player I can think of in the history of the NBA who has come back from a torn Achilles capably, and I said this on my podcast, I said this on Twitter, I am saying this to anybody who will listen because I feel like I am Mugatu in the last scene of Zoolander right now, and I really do feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Why is everyone ignoring the fact that the dude is 31 or going to be 31 at the start of the season, is recovering from a torn Achilles, and the only person who's ever recovered from that to be okay is Dominique Wilkins? And if your argument is, well, it's happened and medicine is better than Dominique, and maybe there's a better chance that it happens now, you're right that medicine is better. But you realize that it took maybe one of the five greatest athletes ever to step on a basketball court for the dude to be okay. Like, Wes Matthews is one of the hardest workers in the entire NBA. That guy has one of the most insane work ethics you will ever see. The amount of dedication and care that he puts into his craft is unbelievable. He follows every stereotype that an undrafted dude would. And he came back 2 years younger than Rudy Gay from an Achilles and is just not the same player. He's not a bad player, but he's not worth the contract that Dallas gave him. No one it's the one basketball related injury that we just haven't been able to figure out as a society for guys to come back from. And I don't understand why that is like the seventh bullet point that people, man, they're like, oh yeah, he also has an Achilles. And meanwhile with Blake Griffin, they're like, oh, Blake hurt his wrist. He really worried about that. Why does that come up with Blake Griffin, but with Rudy Gay, it's no big deal. He'll be back for the start of the season. Patterson stylistically is a better fit. This is my huge pet peeve. I don't understand why we're all ignoring this. Am I going insane?
I don't think you're going insane, but I do think if you could get Rudy Gay for that 5.2, then I think it does make sense because the talent's there. But if you're given the option to be Rudy Gay at 5.2 and Patrick Patterson at 5.2, I think you have to choose Patterson because I didn't even think that was like an option. Like in my head, I'm like, like, he could probably get, like, a 3 for $30 from somebody, right? But if you can get him for what the Thunder did, I just think it's a no-brainer. As far as you already have two guys that need the ball, and they're already going to have to figure out how that works. And then, like, throw Rudy Gay into that starting lineup. It's not a seamless fit. But Patterson doesn't take a lot of possessions. He's just going to stand there and fire the ball when he's open. So I think the fit is undoubtedly better. And maybe people are like, well, do you think Rudy Gay is more talented? Like, yeah, probably. He's probably more talented basketball player. But basketball, a team isn't always about like throwing as much talent as you can on the floor. Like this is about like this. The Thunder defense is going to be absurd now, especially if they bring Robertson back or if they have other options at point guard they could bring in. Like this defense is going to be absurd. I think Rudy Gay is probably a little bit more maligned than he should be for his defense, but Patterson's going to help. And we also, another point that we always talked about, like one of the best case scenarios for Domantas Sabonis is Patrick Patterson. And now the Thunder have Patrick Patterson. Like, it's just, this team makes a ton of sense on paper, and I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really good defensively too. I mean, they were 10th in defense last year, and they just... They upgraded from Oladipo and Sabonis to Paul George, who's another. I mean, their two wing positions, if they bring back Robertson, their two wing positions. How many wings are better defensively? Wing combinations around the league are better defensively than Paul George and Andre Robertson. I mean, Kawhi and Danny Green is the only other one that I can think of that gives it a run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to have those guys on the wings. They're going to have Steven Adams, who is a well above average center, who I think could conceivably be an all defensive type of guy at some point in his career, and who I think is going to have a really good year this upcoming season. People forget Steven Adams is only 23 years old. People talk about him like he's a finished product. He's not. He's 23. He's like Chris Dunn's age. Like, he's going to be – people talk about Chris Dunn as this young up-and-comer, and Steven Adams is the same age as him. Like, He's got a long ways to improve. And Patterson is this really solid team defender. You've got Grant with tremendous defensive potential as a potentially switchy guy with the way that the Thunder used him in the playoffs this past year. Right now he's a shot blocker. He's not a rim protector. But maybe if Billy Donovan can coach him up somewhere, I thought his defense improved throughout last year. And the Thunder are really good at developing guys like that throughout a career. Like, remember Serge Ibaka early in his career? I'm not saying that Grant is the next Serge Ibaka, but Ibaka is just the most extreme example of this, of a guy who came in as just a shot blocker and not a rim protector and turned into just an unbelievable rim protector. And if they can do that with Ibaka, I feel like they can do that on an obviously much smaller scale with Jeremy Grant, turning him into something like that. And if he's also someone who can guard in the perimeter, that's just a really valuable type of defender to have on your bench. They just have a lot of athleticism and a lot of long guys. Who would have thought that Sam Presti getting a lot of like athletic long guys who can defend? So out of character, right?
Right. I just think that it's crazy. People were really wanting Taj Gibson to come back. But one of the biggest flaws with Taj is that he couldn't shoot threes, or that he just didn't shoot threes. And now they have a very similar player to Taj. I think Taj is probably a better defender than Patterson is. But he stretches out to three, and it's perfect. Like, if you could just make one big critique of Taj's game, is that he doesn't shoot threes, and if he did, he would have probably gotten even more money than he got on the market this year. You get a discount compared to what Taj got, and you get a guy that shoots threes and spaces the floor. I don't know. I can't think of a more perfect fit that you could get for the Texas mid-level.
I would like to thank Anchor Down for sponsoring today's show. If you live in Oklahoma City and you haven't been to Anchor Down, you have made a big mistake. This place is awesome. Inside is great. They have a great bar. They've got great food. They have a great patio. They have a really good beer selection. You can get some jalapeno poppers there that are just to die for right now. Of course, they've got that salad that's super fresh. They got their corn dogs. It's a great time to go check out Anchor Down. Go grab a beer. Grab your friends, go on the patio, order some corn dogs, order some pizza tots, get yourself a salad. Go check out Anchor Down today.
Yeah, I think Taj Gibson is a better player than Patrick Patterson. Like, in a vacuum, I think Taj Gibson is a better player than Patrick Patterson. But
sure.
They were never getting Taj Gibson for $5 million. That was not happening. Taj Gibson took way less money than he could have for market value on his last contract with Chicago, and he's 31 years old, and he wanted to get paid, and he deserved to get paid, and he went to a place that I think is a really good fit for him, especially from a personality standpoint, because he gets to reunite with Tibbs and be a veteran leader on a young team that's probably going to be really competitive this year. So I completely understand why he ended up going there. I'm kind of with you on – I think Taj is a better defender. He's obviously – overall, he's a more versatile offensive player because he has a good post game and he has a good mid-range game. Yeah. And he's a better – like Patterson is a good pick-and-pop guy, but I don't think he's really a pick-and-roll guy. And Taj can like pick-and-pop to 16 feet and he can roll and he's probably a better passer and you feel more comfortable with him with the ball. But these are all skills that the Thunder don't necessarily need. Like, those are more valued in Minnesota than they are in Oklahoma City with the way that the Thunder's team is set up. What they need most from their four is a guy who can spread the floor. Because with Taj on the floor, with Taj on the floor this year, with the starting lineup that they were playing, including Taj this year, they had five below average three-point shooters on the floor in their starting lineup, below average for their positions, which is kind of an amazing thing. Now they have Paul George, who's well above average three-point shooter for his position. Now they're going to have Patterson. So they're going to at least have two guys out there, assuming Patterson is the starter over Grant. They're going to have at least two guys out there who are above average three-point shooters for their position. That's going to help space the floor a lot. And even though Patterson is streaky, guys still guard him, which is really what matters the most. Like, he is going to provide space for Russell Westbrook to get to the lane, for him to drive and kick, for him to even do his mid-range pull-ups that sometimes frustrate people. Like, he is just going to have more room to operate, and that's always a good thing for the Thunder.
Yeah, no question. So the Thunder have another free agent out there, and Andre Robertson, where do you think, first of all, do you think he's going to get an offer from another team? And then where do you think his number settles? Because I feel like his market is drying up, and I feel like the Thunder are in a really good place right now with him. And with him also like completing this roster, I think that probably encourages him more like, hey, man, like come back here and we can have the best defensive team in basketball. We can make a run at the Western Conference Finals. Or you can go sign with the Kings or the Nets and, you know, probably make a little bit more money. But, I mean, you're going to what Rudy Gay called basketball hell. What do you think Robertson's going to do?
I think all restricted free agents, except for like Otto Porter, are in a really bad place right now. The market is really dried up. I don't think Andre is going to make as much money as he hoped or thought that he maybe would this summer. And like I said before, like that's true for a lot of people. Like Rudy Gay turned down a $14 million player option, and I'm not certain he's going to get $14 million a year. Now, granted, that him turning that down may have, like you said, the basketball hell thing. That may have had more to do with personal reasons and personal happiness than it did money. But I don't know if he's getting 14. Like, George Hill turned down a huge contract extension with the Jazz, and he didn't get close to that from Sacramento. Like, a lot of these guys out there are just not getting what they thought they were going to get, because the market is not dictated by how high the salary cap is. It's dictated by how much cap room there is. And while the salary cap is $5 million higher this year than it was last year, the amount of cap room is only like a third of what it was. And that's what's made the market really dry up. I think their priority has always been to re-sign Andre Robertson, and I think that stayed consistent, and it may have even gotten higher after the Paul George trade. Now, depending on if other moves end up coming in, which could make Robertson redundant or something like that, like we talked about Marcus Smart, I don't know how that would change their mind. But as of now, as the roster is currently constructed, like, I think Andre Robertson is going to end up back. And I think he's going to end up – like, I still think that some team, whether it's Brooklyn – like, I don't think Brooklyn is going to give him an obscene offer. I don't think Sacramento is going to give him an obscene offer. But I think if he can be had for $10 million a year, I think either of those teams are going to end up signing him to the offer sheet. And if the Thunder match, that's less than they offered him in an extension offer last fall. So you have to imagine that, and he had the best year of his career this past year. So you have to imagine that's what they value him at. But if I'm one of those teams, I'm throwing at least that amount at him if it comes down to that. I don't think this will be for a little bit. Like, he's going to go later into free agency. He's somewhere obviously below that first tier of restricted free agents. So they're going to go through the first tier of restricted free agents, and then they're going to make their way down to him. So he might be, you know, into the second week, into the third week of restricted free agency before he gets the offer. I still think he'll be around that $10 million offer, $10 million a year. But I mean, I would be surprised if somebody came in with just like, you know, they say it only takes one. But I would be surprised if somebody came in with just a ginormous offer to blow the Thunder out of the water.
Yeah, and if they get Patrick Patterson on the deal he's on, Paul George, and then they get Robertson at $10 million a year, I mean, that's an outrageous summer for Sam Presti. And then he's still got to get a backup point guard. And if he is able to pull off, you know, like a Marcus Smart deal or Terry Rozier or even, I don't know, Corey Joseph out of Toronto, like if you can get like any of those three guys, like that's just an incredible summer. Like he's done such a good job. I mean, people, I just heard so much of like fire Sam Presti. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's gonna let all these guys go, Harden, Trey, blah blah blah. Like, I don't think people know like how smart this guy is and like what a good job he's doing. I know people recognize it now that they see all these moves being made, but it just kind of blows my mind that people don't appreciate him until he's done what he's done, you know, up to this point. It just kind of blows my mind a little bit.
I'm with you. He's brilliant. He's one of the best general managers in the league. Look at what he's built. It's extremely rare. I mean, people talk about having to bottom out to then come back and be a good team again, right? And they didn't bottom out. I think that's really the sign of amazing management in some ways. Like, I'm not saying if you do bottom out, it's not a sign of you can't have great management too, because that's obviously not the case. There are plenty of organizations with phenomenal management who bottom out and get there. But like certain organizations, Houston does it, which I think is a great front office. Miami does it, which I think is a great front office. they don't really tank. They stay good. I mean, Miami does it because they want free agents, and Houston does it because they want a way to get a star. But they don't really tank, and they stay good, and they still are able to – they don't rebuild, but they restructure. They're still able to restructure and then turn themselves into really, really good teams again. And Presti just did it in a year. And I find that impressive, going against the way from a guy who is pro tanking based on his actions. I mean, the Thunder have lost before and gotten good picks. And he was also somebody, let's not forget, that when the NBA was trying to employ those anti-tanking rules a few years ago when Sam Hinkie was doing his thing in Philadelphia, Sam Presti was one of the people who led the charge against those, one of the very few people who didn't want to employ those tanking sanctions, presumably because if he lost Russell Westbrook and he lost to Kevin Durant and he had to rebuild and do it all over again, he would probably be down to tank. That's the only conceivable reason why. I can't imagine he was just lobbying against it out of fairness. So it's a really impressive thing that he was able to bring this team back to – I mean, they're one of the better teams in the NBA now. We'll see where they rank. I mean, it's hard to say now because no one's roster, including the Thunder's, is complete. But they're really, really good. They're going to be set for – they're better than they were last year. There's no question.
Yep, no doubt. Another kind of
that being said, Andrew, if the Thunder are $2.3 million into the luxury tax, can you imagine how much Sam Presti will be regretting that $2.4 million he has to pay Ronnie Price?
Oh my goodness. Well, don't you just stretch Singler at that point?
Well, I'm assuming that's after stretching Singler.
Okay. Yeah. That's
so. If they're 5.7 into the luxury tax, they stretch Singler, and they're like 2.3 into it, and it's Ronnie Price's 2.4 bringing them into the luxury tax. Like, can you imagine the unnecessary second guaranteed year they gave to Ronnie Price, who they waived and didn't stretch?
And the biggest problem I have is that they did that in order to let Samaj Christian be the backup point guard for the team. Not only did they make a bad move, but they made another bad move in letting the worst backup point guard into the NBA.
It always comes back to Samaj Christian.
It does.
That should be the name of this podcast. It always comes back to Samaj.
And it's Kanter. What do you think they're going to do with Kanter? Everybody's like, oh, they're going to just dump Kanter so that we can go sign another guy. And it's like, well, that's not really how it works. And but it would help them in regards to the luxury tax if they could find a way to deal him for like a guy that made like $9 million or something like that. I've had to explain to people multiple times, I don't know who wants Enes Kanter. Like, I don't know who that is. And also, Enes Kanter probably helps this team more than who they could go get. So what do you think they're going to do with Kanter?
I've said it from the very beginning. I don't think he's going to get traded. I just don't. There's not a market for centers like him, for those offense first, defense never centers. They're just not there. Philadelphia has been trying to trade Jahlil Okafor for a year. They're just trying to give him away. They're not even trying to trade him. They're trying to sneak him into a FedEx box and somehow get him onto a plane to another city, and he keeps getting returned. He's like a human boomerang in the train market. He just keeps getting flown back to Philadelphia every single time. Nobody wants these guys, and he's on a rookie contract. I mean, the Magic have been trying to deal Nikola Vucevic, who I think is a better defensive player, not a good defensive player, but a better defensive player than Enes Kanter is, and he's on a cheaper deal. They haven't been able to do it. Mm-hmm. Toronto's open to trading Valanciunas, better defensive player on a cheaper deal as well. They haven't been able to do it. Milwaukee's been open to dealing Greg Monroe for a long time, a similar contract. Also a better defensive player than Kanter. Not actually a horrible defensive player, Greg Monroe. There are times where you watch him in the pick and roll and you're like, that's much better than your reputation shows. He's not a good defensive player, but I don't think he's nearly on Kanter's level. And they haven't been able to do it either. And there are some other guys out there too. The market for centers in general is down. I mean, look at Nerlens Noel, who's like the prototypical modern, long, defensive-minded, defensive anchoring center. he was Justin Anderson and 2 second rounders was the price that Philly only got for him. So granted, I mean, he was a free agent, but he was restricted. And like teams just, there are a lot of centers out there and teams don't really want them. Like, it's just, it took Brooklyn years to trade Brook Lopez. And the only reason they were able to do it is because they were like, yeah, yeah, give us the Mozgov contract. Like, that was the reason they were able to make that deal. It was a salary dump of Mozgov, and they attached D'Angelo Russell and make it happen. Like, it's just, it's tough to make that deal. And Enes Kanter is the most expensive of all of those guys. And if the Thunder, I don't think the Thunder are in a position to just give him away for free now. Because if they give him away for free, it's not like they have the cap room from giving away for free to go out and get some big guy or something like that. So they're giving him away for free just to save money at that point. And if that's what they're doing just to save money after they made a win now move to go get Paul George, I just don't understand the inconsistency there. And I think that's part of it. If they can bring back somebody who helps and they can save money, I think that would be great. But I don't think you're getting anything for Enes Kanter. I don't think you are. Like, the Thunder fans have this weird inconsistency, and it happens in my mentions like all the time. And I want to just mute the entire world when it happens. When they're like, Kanter's too expensive, his deal's too expensive, they should dump him for a first round pick. It's like, that's not what dumping is. That's just acquiring a first round pick in a really good trade. That's not what dumping is.
Right.
If you don't want Kanter, why do you think that all the other 29 teams want Kanter? Like, it's not the way that this works. The other 29 teams feel the same way. He's a good player and he helps the Thunder, but his style with that contract is just, it's extremely difficult situation on the trade market. Cease rant.
Yeah. Well, and the fact is that he's going to help the Thunder next season. Like, he'll help them win regular season games. And if they match up with San Antonio or even with Minnesota, who's going to play two bigs, or if like the Pelicans somehow like sneak into the playoffs, which I don't think they will, but if they somehow did and they match up in the first round with the Thunder, and his Kanter's going to play a lot and he's going to help them a lot. So I don't think that they're going to dump him either. I don't think that they, you're right, they can't afford it. And it would just look like, I mean, Bill Simmons would just dance in the streets if they dumped Enes Kanter just to save tax dollars. I mean, it would just be just the most cheap out way whenever you're trying to build a contender. Enes Kanter will help. But they can't go get, everybody's like, oh, can we trade like Enes Kanter for Eric Bledsoe or something like that? It's like, that's not really understanding like the value of Enes Kanter. You know, like he doesn't hold that much value. I think they would like to get off of his deal and bring in somebody like a wing or a point guard, but wings and point guards are way more valuable than big centers who can score. So that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and for the record, Andrew, the Thunder have been telling teams since like before the draft that they plan on paying the tax this year. And I think there are a lot of teams that have been skeptical about that. I don't think everyone has necessarily believed it. But with the moves that they made, even though they shaved money in the Paul George deal, the fact that they spent money on the mid-level on Terrence Ferguson was their pick, who they still haven't signed, on Patrick Patterson. But Patrick Patterson is going to bring him up to about 113 on the books, and they still haven't signed Ferguson. He's going to bring him up to 114 points something. Like, that's bringing him within $5 million of the luxury tax, and we're not talking about – we're not yet at a backup point guard. We're not yet at Andre Roberson, who they would like to re-sign. Like, they're going to pay tax dollars. I mean, it seems like they're going in the direction, at least, of paying tax dollars. And unless they let Roberson walk, or unless something kind of unforeseen happens where they're able to shed money, or they try to shed money, or they really do just attach an asset to Kanter just to dump him in a move like that, which I think would be uncharacteristic, not of line with a Paul George trade, then I think they're going to end up paying the tax.
Yeah. If you want to compete, you're going to have to pay the tax, especially for the Thunder team in the way that they're constructed. You just have to.
And especially in today's environment, like so many teams this year are going to, in an unprecedented amount of teams are going to pay the tax this year.
Sure. Yeah. Portland may pay the tax and they may not even make the playoffs. Could be a really bad situation in Portland.
Oh yeah,
I do not envy them.
And Detroit could pay the tax
the way the West is.
Yeah, Detroit could pay the tax though in the East. Like, there are a lot of teams. Like, half the league might actually end up, legitimately, half the league might end up paying the tax this year because of that insane overspending last year.
Yep. Yeah, it's insane to me. Backup point. So, there are a lot of avenues for the Thunder. They have the trade exception they can still use, and there's a lot of players that would fit into that. We talked about, we mentioned Marcus Smart. I think that he'd be a really nice fit. Who else is out there, and what kind of point guard are they looking for?
I'm not sure if they're looking for a guy anymore who can necessarily play next to Russ, depending on their feeling with Roberson, because I think they like Abrinas a lot, and I think they want to get Abrinas a decent amount of minutes at the two, and I don't think Abrinas is really a 2-3 that you can play. I think he's pretty strictly a two. So I think if they could go out and they could get somebody who could give them 13 to 17 minutes a night just as a backup point guard, I think they're fine. I don't think they need to get someone of Ray Felton's caliber or anything along those lines. If they could bring in Marcus Smart, the way Marcus Smart would obviously work is that Boston doesn't have the room to sign Gordon Hayward now, so they've got to dump some salary. And if Smart ends up being the guy that's them, then he makes $4.5 million next year. The Thunder have a $4.9 million trade exception left over from Mirsad and Ilyasova, which means they could just, even though they're over the cap, they could absorb Marcus Smart's $4.5 million salary into the Ilyasova $4.9 million trade exception and essentially get him without having to give up players, and Boston would get that salary dump. The Thunder could give back a draft pick or something, maybe the Chicago pick. The unprotected Chicago pick in 2018 is enough to get him based on his market. I don't know what the other 29 teams are thinking in terms of what would get Marcus Smart. But Boston really has no leverage in that situation. So it's a suppressed market for Marcus Smart starting on that, because teams are not going to give up what it would take if Boston were just trying to trade Marcus Smart. So I think he'd be someone who would be really interesting, and it would be interesting to see what happened. What would happen with Andre Roberson if they made that trade while he was still on the market. I think – even just like a Beno Udrih would be an upgrade, right?
Yeah. Udrih, Sheldon Mack, like just one of those guys that you can bring in for close to the minimum. And they're easily an upgrade. It's just, the thing is that it's not going to be hard to upgrade the backup point guard position. Like that's probably the easiest thing that Sam Presti will do this summer is upgrade the backup point guard position. Marcus Smart would be great, because I think he guards multiple positions and he runs a pick and roll. And I think that he would probably love playing Oklahoma City because a lot of OSU fans really like him. I think he'd be perfect. But then like if you did end up with like Sheldon Mack or Beno Udrih, like that, like those guys are competent NBA players. Those are for sure NBA players. And that's what the Thunder needs.
Mack would be fine. Mack would be fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine. Udrih would be totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. Let's see. Oh, let's talk Summer League. You are in Orlando.
I am.
And the Thunder Summer League became a lot less interesting when Del Mas wasn't on the team. And you kind of have the whole Terrence Ferguson, FIBA debacle. But have you taken anything from the Summer League? Anything that's intriguing at all to you?
I appreciated that apparently on the TV broadcast, Vince Carter called Thunder Summer Leaguer Vince Hunter Vince Young. I also
that's a lot of Vince's in that conversation.
That's why I really like it. That's why I really like it. I also really enjoyed today when Charlotte Hornets Summer Leaguer Chris Joseph and Syracuse product tried to high five a ref after making a three. I really appreciate that. And then when I asked him after the game, I specifically went up to him. We actually went to college together, so I specifically went up to him and asked him after the game about trying to high five the ref. I was like, "Did you try to high five the ref?" And his response was emphatically yelling, "Yeah, man, I want to high five everyone after I make a three."
Oh man, I love that.
It was so great. I was so happy. I was like, Chris, that's the greatest quote anyone's ever given me at Summer League. Thank you so much. That's all I've taken away. Josh Eustace played really well in their second game.
Yeah.
But like it's Summer League and I don't know what Josh Eustace playing well means anymore.
Right. Do you think he gets a chance? I just think the dude just needs a chance. Like, let him play him 5 minutes. Let him play garbage time. Like, whatever it is, like, give him a chance to either be an NBA player or not. Because, like, what they've been doing for the first few years of his career has not been that. I don't feel like they've really given him much of a chance.
The reason it's weird is because I realize that he was not projected as a first-round pick. But the reason that it's weird is because they still took him as a first-rounder. And you're still – you are investing money into his salary. You're investing resources into his development. You're investing time into his development and devotion into his development. You're investing a roster spot for 2 years. And they've – it's like they've gone out of his way or out of their way not to see what he is. That's what's weird.
Right.
Like – It's not hard to put him into 30-point games, to give him – like play him the same way you play Nick Collison, you know? Put him into 20-point games for the final 5 minutes. Like, that's fine. It's not that hard. There were games when he was active, and there were like in the middle of the season when Oladipo was hurt, and like – I forget who else was hurt. It was Oladipo and somebody. Like, there were games where – where Adams was out and he was active, or whomever it was, like, or maybe Oladipo and Kanter might have overlapped. I forget. The season was so long ago at this point. But there were times where he was active and there, and they just – they didn't do it. And it's weird. When he, like, he shot 37% from three in the D-League. I'm not even arguing that he is a good NBA player, because I honestly don't know. It's not like I'm sitting around watching D-League all the time. But when I see him, he's a tremendous athlete, and he makes threes. And, like, my only argument, which I think is fair, like, this is not a hot take, my only argument is that I don't know what he is, but neither do the Thunder, and that's a problem. Like, after two years, you should at least have an idea of what a first-round pick is. And it's really been 3 years. It's 2 years of the rookie contract.
Right.
It's 3 years since they drafted him. And after that amount of time, you should have an idea of what of just what kind of player that player is. And they don't know. They played him in seven games. They don't know. And it's weird. It's weird. I don't quite understand it. It's not like he's like a problem in the locker room and they're just like they don't want him. You know, it's not like that's like an issue. You know, he's only a problem on Twitter.
Right. He's only a problem to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just weird.
And, it makes no sense. And the Thunder, what have they needed over the past years? Athletic wings. What is Josh Huestis supposedly an athletic wing? And they just – it just makes no sense. And, like, the things they've said is, well, he really struggles playing the pick and roll. You're playing Doug McDermott and Kyle Singler.
It's a BS answer. It's a BS answer that Billy gives for some reason. It's such a weird BS answer, you know? He could give other answers that are BS, but they're less weird. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird answer, isn't it? He needs to work not even defending the pick and roll. He needs to work on defending the front end of pick and rolls. It's like, and he says he's been playing power forward. You know, he played power forward a lot of his college career, and he still needs to work on defending the front end of pick and rolls. It's like, okay, so then A, put him in against wings who don't run pick and rolls. There are a ton of wings who don't run pick and rolls, Billy. Like, what do you just have him guard the Andre Robertsons of the world? Like, that's fine, and just have him play help defense, or just play him at power forward then. If his whole issue is that he's good at power forward, then just make him a power forward. I don't understand what that problem is. Just make him a small ball power forward and try him for like 7 minutes once.
Yeah, it's obviously not an answer. Like, it's not a real answer.
No, of course it's not. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious answer.
It is. Anyone else that's on the Summer League roster? So we know.
Well, there's one guy. There's one guy. There's this point guard that's been awesome.
I'm not going to even go there with you, Fred.
James?
I can't do that. I'm having such a good time out here in the mountains. I got to see fireworks shooting over just this gorgeous lake in these mountains tonight. I don't know that I need to hear his name anymore.
James,
No. I'm not doing that.
Backwards James has been assertive. I'm serious. He's been like he's like yelling at teammates in like moves that I've never seen Samaje Christen do. Cause I think it's like he's the rookie, like he's the second round pick rookie upstairs, but down at Summer League, he's like the vet who has more NBA experience than everyone else on the team. So like he's like the leader of the team and he's like commanding teammates and yelling where to go. It's like an amazing version of Samaje Christen I've never seen before in my entire life from personality. Cause he's like a quiet guy. He's so nice. That's what's so weird about your thing. He's like so quiet and reserved and like, you know, and he's this extremely soft-spoken
guy.
Well,
if you think about it, like one of my favorite guys in the NBA is Deion, right? Like he couldn't be more anti-Deion.
That's true. That is a good point. He's not like Deion at all. He has no problem never taking a shot.
Right. Yeah.
That's very true. But like, yeah, he's yelling at guys where to go, and he's aggressively driving and kicking and finding corner three shooters. They should trade Russell and start him. That's my hot take.
I wish that this was a video pod so that people could see how many times I rolled my eyes during that whole speech.
Hey, he played well in training camp last year. He played well at Summer League last year. It's how he made the roster. This is not the first time.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, Andrew, it's we're recording this at like 2 a.m. Eastern on July 5th. 2 days until his contract guarantees, I think.
Oh, they're going to guarantee that thing. I can't talk about him anymore because I'm trying to have a good end of my trip. Daniel Hamilton, is he any good? People want to know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really pay attention to the games here, Andrew.
There's a lot going on during those games today.
Yeah, you know, I'm walking around. I'm talking to Anthony Grant. I'm trying to like schmooze with scouts and like. I asked the scout today, people are there trying to find out basketball stuff, and I asked the scout today if he watched the original Beverly Hills 90210, because I wanted to make a joke about Vince Hunter's name being a mesh of, on the later 90210, the character Noah Hunter was played by an actor named Vincent Young. So Vincent Hunter's name is the perfect mesh, and that's all I think about whenever I hear his name. I think of that character from 90210. So I wanted to make a joke about that. Unfortunately, he didn't watch 90210, and he was unamused with the joke, and then he kind of walked away. So that's the kind of networking that I'm doing here. And I'm also making sure to learn nothing about Daniel Hamilton, apparently, as well.
That's what we know about Daniel Hamilton. Fred. Hey, if you guys are on Twitter and you're listening to the show, thank Fred for saving my butt tonight because I would have had to do another solo pod. I don't like doing solo pods. So he's helping me get this to you. Thank him on Twitter. And thanks, Fred. We can follow you on Twitter at FredCast. You can follow us on Twitter at Down to Dunk. Leave us a 5-star iTunes review. If you got the time, it's just a nice thing to do for us. We try to put out as much content as we can for you. If you could just do that one thing for us, that would be so helpful. And we will talk to you guys on Friday.